I'm eating Twiglets. I know it's not Christmas anymore, but once they're in the house, they have to be used, don't they? It's gone Christmas.
I don't see the crack with Twiglets at all.
I won't be eating any more Twiglets because they will crunch a lot on this.
Not even that, the smell of them. Mm. Oh my god.
Marmite snacks, mate.
They smell worse than my baby's farts.
They do not.
Bloody hell. Cotton, you're a United fan.
I am, yeah, well done.
Congratulations.
10 points, yeah.
Wait, does that mean, right, you're top of the league now.
Yeah.
So does that mean Man United are going to win the league?
I don't know, man. Like, I'm, I am, like, obviously, if you follow the show and you listen or you watch, I'm the biggest pessimist when it comes to United. But I don't know, I'm just feeling a little bit... If we get a win on Sunday, 6 points clear, it gives us that little buffer to draw a game here or there.
Mm.
Because the way Liverpool and City have been playing this season, there'll be games they drop points in and get a draw rather than you'd expect them to win. So, I don't know. Get a win on Sunday and I think it might be all right.
I just find it funny that no one's talking about City properly.
Well, I think the narrative's changed a little bit because now the mainstream press have picked up on the fact that no one's talking about City. So now they're talking about people not talking about City.
Oh,
so
it's like a
so they're
double entendre.
Yeah, City are there or thereabouts, man. They are. They will be. I think it will be a three-way race. As long as it goes down to the wire this year, I don't want another season of the season's done by February. Wrap it up. Go home. I mean, I was asking you earlier what the odds on just Manchester to win the title.
Are Manchester going to win the title this year? I think so.
Yeah, I think it'll go to a Manchester club. I really do.
Do you want to hear some banter?
What?
I said at the beginning of the season that Liverpool were going to come fourth.
I don't know about.
There's an awkward part of that though. Also said that Arsenal were going to come third.
Oh, okay. yeah. So one of my friends.
I don't think that bit's going to happen anymore.
It includes a few of my friends. So basically, one of my friends made a bet with a few of my other friends that Tottenham would finish top four, and there was £100 in it. And I got too late to the party, but I was on Twitter like, can I get a piece of this action? And he was giving it absolute stacks first few weeks when Tottenham were doing all right. And now they're sixth again. And everyone's straight in like, Joey, do you want to cash out, mate? Do you want to?
God. I can't, honestly, like, the thing with Spurs, yeah, and this is not my Arsenal head. The thing with Spurs is that they go through Arsenal-esque periods of the season, don't they?
Yeah.
They'll go on a run of games. It's like, oh, can we finish here? Oh, yeah, we're going to do it. Blah, blah, blah. And then they go on another run of games, which is completely counterproductive in comparison to what they've done before. And then it's like, it's just a run of form. And they had their run of form, but they weren't even playing that well. And they'll go back and be like, oh yeah, we beat Man United 6-1. Yeah.
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
Arsenal also beat us this season. And how did that work out for them for a period?
Well, it was a bit of transition.
Do you know what the thing with...
Arteta out.
The thing with the Tottenham thing is so... They're so bipolar. Like, 1 week Son and Kane are literally running riot and they're both scoring, they're both assisting for each other, and then the next week neither of them can get a shot on target. Or one of them, like Son, just disappeared in the Fulham game the other day. Kane got his goal, but Son just disappeared, and it's Mourinho football. That's what happens. And
you know it first hand as well.
Oh, I know it first hand. No, well, we had games like that under Mourinho where I'm trying to think of players who would have really performed under him and then this really didn't, and it was just very, like, people like Martial, it's 1 week you'd be like, well, why is he just, like last season, why has he scored 784 goals like Pelé? And then this season I can't even trust him to touch the ball. It's so bad.
Well, the thing is, it just winds me up, like, well, I do feel sorry for Mourinho a little bit with the Man United thing, because Since Fergie, it's been so much of a new manager comes in, we're going to put our new spin on what's going on, and then they get chinned off, and a new manager comes in, they buy 96 left backs, and then you've got 96 left backs to try and play with when you're under Mourinho. But there was times in the season where you looked really good. You know, both Manchester clubs were top of the league that season, and nothing came of it from United. You came second in the end, which is a madness, but, like, I don't know. United weirded me out this season, right? Look at the stage of the season. At the time of recording this, you're top of the league, 3 points clear of your closest rivals, which is Liverpool. which is a madness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally smiling.
I can see you. I'm literally watching you on the camera right now, going, "Oh, look at Cotton smiling. He's absolutely loving it."
The thing is, as well, like we're also 11 games unbeaten as well. We haven't just found ourselves up there.
Yeah, but you've
we
done this before. Yeah. That's the thing. You've done it before. What does it mean? You know, it's January. We're recording this in January, but it's not a normal January because we haven't even gone halfway through the season yet. Yeah. We haven't even played all 19 other clubs in the Premier League so far, but you're top of the league and no one knows how you've done it. You know, everyone was taking the mickey out of Spurs. You know, like those memes that were going around with the elephant that was hugging the tree.
Yeah, how did they get up there? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Man United is doing right now. Well, I don't agree with Jason McAteer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, what, Liverpool fan Jason McAteer.
Yeah, I think anyone who's top of the league at the time deserves to be top of the league based on what they've done so far. So you deserve to be on top of the league. But I look at your performance week in, week out, and I'm thinking, what's going on with Man United?
Well, honestly, two words of the reason we're top of the league at the minute is Bruno Fernandes. And I know literally every game of football you watch on Sky Sports at the minute, it could be West Brom versus Wolves, and they'll still show you the stats of Man United since Bruno arrived, how many goals, assists, blah, blah, blah. But he has been that important. It's really weird that today we're doing this, that I literally got a text from one of my close friends who's used to be a United season ticket holder, and it was a text from June 2019, and it was him saying, "Do we really need Bruno Fernandes though? Like, really?"
Yeah, but at the time, did you actually need him?
100%. We needed
something. No, you didn't.
Yeah, we
no,
did.
Didn't
yeah, we
need
did.
That.
We
no,
did.
You needed
we sort did.
Of freaking D-line
we,
out.
We needed something. And I was like, yeah, the guy's class. My only annoyance is it took until January to sign him.
Oh, poor Spurs.
Yeah.
They didn't want to pay the wedge, did they?
But like the thing is, it can't be understated. He's one of those players. I'm not going to say like Ronaldo because it's a completely different impact, but I've seen Bruno have absolute stinky games this season and get a goal and an assist and win us the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, but
isn't that the definitive?
It's a sign of quality. Yeah, it's a sign of quality. Like, if you're having a terrible game and you need something, literally something, and whether it's a free kick, a penalty, whatever it is, he's there all the time.
Mm.
And just not even that. Like, you'll know this because of the confidence thing at Arsenal and stuff this season. Like, just having a player like that around the club. Look at the confidence it's put in players.
Yeah, yeah,
not just Bruno scoring penalties and whatever, but every player around him has now suddenly stepped up 2-3 gears because the confidence is there. Like,
yeah.
Now we're dreaming of a title. Like,
exactly.
It's mad.
I mean, where was that going to be after Arsenal won at Old Trafford earlier on the season? Like, I was waiting. After that game, I was waiting for you lot. Because I think you won 2 or 3 on the bounce after that. And then I was waiting for you to lose your next game. And then I was going to lump on Man United to win the league.
Yeah.
But you haven't lost
that hasn't
one.
Happened yet.
So
yeah.
Now it's some dead cash. It's not even worth putting any wedge on it.
Well, I'll tell you what was that?
No, let's have a look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm
going to
have a look.
But like, while Cotton's having a look at that, I just think Cotton did already say about the media are now talking about people not talking about Man City. But we have to address Man City, and especially defensively. They've had to play with Zach Steffen in goal a few times this season. Edison came back during the week, which ain't too bad. But we know that Aymeric Laporte is the main guy at the back for City. However, Ruben Diaz has been a revelation. Record signing. We all take the mick out of Man City. How much money they spend on defenders? It's 50 million a pop. Like,
yeah.
If you're not 50 million... Did you even sign for Man
City?
Yeah,
exactly, yeah.
But Ruben Diaz is a proper old school. I'll tell you who he reminds me of. Tony Adams, man. No nonsense. Big brute. Can head a ball. Can do all that. All your normal defensive stuff. But he's actually got that little bit of flair. He doesn't need to use it, though.
Is he Portuguese? Yeah, he's Portuguese.
Is he Portuguese?
Yeah,
I thought he's Spanish. I don't know. I don't actually know where Ruben Diaz is from.
I'm just making that up. Well, I'm not making that up. But I think I'm assuming that on the... part of that he came from Porto, didn't he? He's Portuguese.
I just knew he weren't finished.
Came from Benfica, Stephen. 61.2 mil. I mean,
yeah, it's a lot of money.
People want to talk about Maguire for that much, and we won't bring it back to United too much, but that's Prem proven as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm trying to move on to City.
To buy someone for that much from Liga NOS is pretty, like, you have to be pretty sure.
Yeah.
And he has been great. Also, didn't he? Wasn't he in front of Edison for a couple of seasons? So they've got that little link up play between them. They know each other because Edison came from Benfica, didn't he?
Oh yes, he did. Yeah.
So they must know each other pretty well.
So yeah, and I'm like best goalkeeper in the world.
Unless let me check now. See. If that's let me check now.
Let me check now.
When did he break into the Benfica season?
Because what is it? It's not even that old. It's what, 23? That's another.
He's 23.
Thing.
Okay, so he might have played maybe a season.
That's irrelevant, really, whether he played a season. What it is more the fact that, excuse me, in defensive mindset, he's a kid, and for the fact that he is only 23, he's playing like a seasoned 30-year-old, and the partnership between him and John Stones. We've all laughed at John Stones over the years. We've all known that he's got a bit of quality, but he's a ball-playing centre-half, plays himself into trouble a lot. Remember the time when he shushed the crowd after...
Oh, my God, he did a Cruyff turn into a Cruyff turn. I only got away with it because he got a free kick given. And he turned around and shushed him. I was angry at that. And I don't even support Everton.
But, like, City have kept so many clean sheets under that double partnership. It actually makes me wonder how Aymeric Laporte gets back into the side, because I'm a big believer of form. If you're playing form, you have to be selected, and those two at the back are doing major moves.
They are. I agree with you, but in this case, I genuinely would take a Laporte running at half form over John Stones.
Well, Laporte, if you want to call it stats wise and the attributes that he brings, he is the best defender at the club, and the only better defender than him in the Premier League, I would say, is Van Dijk. If you were making a Premier League 11 right now to represent the Premier League and go over and play against La Liga 11, for argument's sake, which I would love this, by the way, if they changed the
World
Cup.
Yeah, we'll get onto this later, because I want to talk about conference. You know how they do the All-Stars? And
We'll get onto that in a bit. I'll tell you what, right? Yeah, because... We'll come back to that in a bit. Right, okay. Man United. I just want to flip back to Man United quickly. By the way, City are going to win the league.
Well, here's the odds. What we're talking about, that's a good little jump off. I can't believe these odds.
Okay.
So.
Favourites are?
So, fourth favourite.
Oh, we're going. Oh.
I'm
going
to do it this way.
I'll go five.
Okay. Coming in hot at number five. Chelsea.
Ah?
On a smooth 33-1.
33? What are Arsenal then if they're fifth? Because I'm not being funny. We're only 2 points behind
them. I'd rather not tell you. Coming in at number four is Tottenham with a 20-1.
You almost made me choke on my beer.
With a 20-1. Coming in at third.
Non-mover
at number three. Manchester United, a cool 6-1.
Where's my card?
Even better than this. Coming in at number two at a crispy 3-1. Liverpool. Odds on favourite to win the title on Sky Bet is Manchester City at 4-6.
You are
kids. I don't know who's done the maths.
Sorry, kids, but you are fucking me.
Mate, I'm seeing Liverpool at 3-1, and I'm very tempted.
I'm seeing Liverpool and Man United. I'm looking at, oh my God.
So you can have 1-3 of the original odds at each way for the. So if Liverpool, if you put £100 each way, yeah, for Liverpool to win the league, it would return. If Liverpool finished second, you'd still get £100 back.
Sweet Jesus!
Liverpool at 3-1. Where are they getting those City odds from? That's crazy.
Making it up.
I tell you what. So let's do this. We were talking about this the other day. I would give anything for an end of season. I know the problem with this is pre-seasons, Euros, World Cups and stuff.
Chin them off.
So this is just solely in a world where we wouldn't have that. Imagine like an end of season, like North versus South Premier League game. The best of the North, the best of the South, or whatever.
Deeper than that. It goes deeper than that, man. It's got to be... I don't want to see World Cup anymore. And I want to see World Cup of Leagues. I want to see Premier League 11. Well, no, it'll be a Premier League squad of 25. And then like whoever got manager of the year takes that team of players off on one. It's just the only issue that like
this. It'd be Klopp playing Liverpool.
Well, this is yeah, but this is where you can't because you have like max three players from any particular club or something like that. You know, because I want to see the best Premier League side take on the best Serie A.
Yeah,
I'll take on the best La Liga. Because like, this is what I'm saying. Like the best two defenders, best two centre halves in the Premier League, when fully fit, Van Dijk and Laporte. Maybe David Luiz. Nah, I'm not joking about that. It's more Rob Holding. But like that would be a madness.
Yeah, I'd love
that. Robertson left back.
Oh, come on, let's do it. Let's pick it now.
Well, okay.
Who starts in goal?
So it's a starting 11.
Starting 11. Who starts in goal? Premier League team. It doesn't have to be who has had the best season. It's who you'd be most comfortable in those positions. So
if
Premier
want
League,
an actual goalkeeper, not some ball playing special. Yeah. On.
I agree. It's David De Gea. Well done. Next.
I was going to put Nick Pope.
Nick Pope.
And that also frees up cap space because who else is going to go from Burnley? You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Well, are we doing three at max three?
Max three a team. Because I just look at that in the situation of. I want a goalkeeper. I want someone who's going to stop the ball from going in the back of the net. I don't care what your distribution is.
I'll tell you what, it's either Nick Pope or it's Areola, because I don't...
You're going off the Spurs game?
No, he has the third best save percentage in the league.
Because
behind,
he's getting peppered all the time, but he's
Alioski
a good goalkeeper.
Or, of course he is. He played for PSG, he's been at Madrid, he's played for France.
Not Alioski,
Alioski.
Sticking between sticks.
Pope or Areola? Pope.
Well, I'm gonna go with Pope.
Okay, I'll go with Pope. We'll go Pope.
So then left back, Kieran Tierney.
It's Tierney or Robertson, isn't it? I mean,
it is Tierney or Robbo.
Robertson.
But then we've got to look at. You know what? No, Robbo is going there.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah. Right back, I'm not necessarily looking at Trent. I'm looking at maybe Reece James.
I don't know about that.
Tariq Lamptey?
Maybe. Because also that frees
because,
up some
yeah,
club
because,
space.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
Well.
It's club space. So this isn't a beef. So, Liverpool fans, I don't want you be like sending us messages and going, oh my God,
we haven't even mentioned Wan-Bissaka, to be fair. But
well, yeah. In fact, I'm trying to think of other Man United players. No, Wan-Bissaka. Wan-Bissaka, right back.
Okay, because we're saying we're not going solely off of form and everything. This is just
in terms of ability.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'd go Wan-Bissaka right back then.
I imagine we're going 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, always. Two centre backs have agreed on Laporte and Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. So recap: we've got a goalkeeper, we've got Pope, back four of Wan-Bissaka, Van Dijk, Laporte, and Robertson.
Yeah.
Right. Two midfielders and a pivot.
Yeah. Højbjerg.
Oof.
I didn't even think about that. I just went straight in with that as well.
I don't know if I can disagree with you.
Because then we've got Kanto's best. Kanto's been dead in that position for about three, four seasons now. Do you know what I mean? Like, he had the season where he won it with Leicester, banging. He had the season that he won it with Chelsea, banging. Season after that. Where's Kanto?
Højbjerg. Okay, Højbjerg and
Mason Mount.
Yeah. What was that, Frank? Sorry.
I mean, but like Højbjerg has to go in there. Do we have a bit of room for Ward-Prowse?
I don't think there is.
No.
With the midfielders that we are now going to have to struggle between, if you think that with Fabinho, Henderson, Fernandes, Pogba,
I want to put Fernandes in the one.
Yeah. In behind, yeah, that's fine. So we need Højbjerg and...
I think Højbjerg is an absolute shout, by the way.
Yeah, but we're going to need someone energetic box to box. We're going to need someone like Fred.
Nah, Fred ain't getting in.
Someone like Fred,
who's better than Fred, like a Decore.
Hey, Fred's been great this season. Decore,
Declan
maybe.
Rice?
I honestly can't stand him. I still to this day can't see the hype. I just can't get back behind him.
Yeah, I don't know. But like, yeah, I think...
Højbjerg and...
I was thinking that the Højbjerg shout is doing. No, no, it's no Man United player in that pivot role.
No, there is not.
That is gonna do that job. I think we're going Doucouré. And then wide left, we're putting...
Hold the phone.
Definitely wide left, we're putting Jack Grealish.
No. Because if we're going to put Bruno in the hole and behind, the central midfielder partner to Højbjerg has to be De Bruyne. Can't leave him out. And he...
How dare thou?
He won't do too much... Well, he does a bit of defensive work for City.
It's actually been a bit deeper the last couple of years as well. I'll tell you what, I ain't got beef with that at all.
No, wide left Grealish, I don't think he squeaks in because
Son
and Rashford is gonna.
Rashford ain't getting in this.
No.
Nah. So I'm putting Grealish here.
I'm gonna have to disagree. Rashford's stats over the last two seasons, goals and assists, I don't think anyone's near him. Other than maybe, Mane. His stats are better than Mane this season.
Yeah, they are.
Mane.
I'll tell you what. Right, what made me laugh earlier on today when I was looking at Salah, because I think Salah's had a dead season.
Mm.
I think it's been terrible. Man's top goal scorer in the Premier League this year with 13 goals.
Yeah, but
he's at the time of recording.
Victim. He's suffering that, like, his problem with his own success. Like, we're so used to him bagging so often that... 13 this season isn't anything compared to what he usually gets.
Yeah, no, but it's 13 in like 17 games.
Oh no, it's mad.
It's pretty much a goal a game, you know, really and truly, if you look deep down.
Left mid, we're going to have to agree because it's not going to be... I can't put Grealish in there.
Okay, we'll have to move away from Grealish and Rashford then.
And Rashford?
Yeah, because Rashford ain't getting in that, I'm sorry. We'll put Son wide left. He can do that job.
Son, yeah.
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 So then wide right...
Rashford. I'm joking. Wide right.
Do we have Mahrez cutting in?
Mahrez. If it was up to me, Mahrez, I would start playing him more in behind the strikers. I don't think it's going to sound really stupid. I don't think he's fast enough to be.
No, I get that.
Wide.
But like I'd say, okay, in terms of ability, Ziyech. He's not performed so far yet. He hasn't had an opportunity to do so.
Don't like him out wide. I prefer him. When he played for Ajax, he was in behind as well. Wide right.
We're gonna
miss some major firepower. Everton, they've got 37 wingers, haven't they?
They've got loads of them. Do you know what I mean? What, Richarlison, they're playing wide. They're playing wide quite a lot. I don't know.
Hudson-Odoi, no, I'm thinking.
I love Hudson-Odoi.
I do like him, but he's not getting.
He's not getting this team. I can't see anyone else going there.
Salah, right, maybe.
Yeah, do you know what? I think we should put Salah in because he's going to cut inside.
It might have to be Salah.
Who's going to be your main guy through the middle? Patrick Bamford.
My main guy through the middle. My main man.
My man.
It's going to end up being Harry Kane, isn't it?
It is going to be Harry Kane. Aguero can't stay fit for Toffee, can he?
If it's not Aguero, it is another Toffee. If it's not Aguero, it's Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah. I think that would take on quite a few teams. I think it would. I don't think it would take on... I don't think it... But then I look at it then. I'm thinking, would that take on a La Liga 11? I don't know. But wide right, we were struggling a little bit there. And one player who can play there is Memphis Depay.
Oh.
And there's talk that Memphis might be going to Barcelona on a free.
Well, yeah, his contract with Leon ends summer 2021, so yeah.
I don't understand why you didn't do the buyback at Man United, man. At the time when you could have, you know what I mean?
Mourinho would have hated him. Yeah. Mourinho, like, Memphis is literally, I hate to pigeonhole him, but he does drive his Bentleys. He is a very flashy player.
Sick rapper.
Have you actually
seen the video?
Yeah. Oh no, he spits bars, man.
Bars, man.
But like at one point he was going out with Steve Harvey's daughter. Like, could you imagine Mourinho trying to deal with Memphis rolling up in a gold Bentley to the derby and like rapping and stuff? Like, it just wouldn't have happened. So he just wasn't his sort of player. It's a shame because I absolutely buzzed off him. Like, he was one of my favourite players. But so we were looking at this earlier, and Memphis Depay, he's moved to Lyon. After
I do find it mad that he moved to Lyon. I just felt that he was a bigger slash better player than someone who should be going to France.
So just quickly on that, he only started one game in the 2016-17 season for Manchester United, and it was the third round 3-1 away win over League One club Northampton Town.
Hey,
I was there. yeah, so he's moved to Lyon. Memphis became with that move. He became the first player known as the first air quotes laptop transfer in football. So basically, his decision to move to Lyon was basically they used a company called Sci Sports, who basically use a computer and use stats, intelligence, scouting, stuff like that to define where a player is going to work out better. So, so basically, they use an index to determine the quality and potential of over 200,000 players around the globe, and it provides direct access to data sources. So long story short, it's a very, very smart grown-up football manager. So
I was going to say, it sounds like sitting on FM going, I'm going to sign that player.
Yeah, so
stats look good.
So basically, it looks at the kind of player you are. They looked at his stats for United and his dribbles, take-ons, etc., etc. And then they kind of calculate what league in the top five leagues, etc., will be, what has the most take-ons, like who has the best dribbles, who's this, who's that. And decided for him that France was the best option and Lyon was the best option. So,
and he took that and he was like, oh.
And he's done really well. I mean, he's done absolute like.
No, it's been, you know, it's been really good there. But it's just mad that he's looked at that and thought, oh, right, screw it, I'll do that.
Yeah, well, it's
why has it not been so documented?
I don't know. See, to be fair, this was news to me because I only found this out the other day while I was just looking at Memphis, and to be fair, we watch 37 games a day, so for me to not know that this was the first laptop transfer in football, I thought, oh, okay.
It makes me feel upset within myself.
But yeah, I mean, he only went to Lyon as well for 16 mil, which is crazy in itself. Memphis on a free. I mean,
some of the stats though, like, just wind me up though, because it's all good having a look at goals and assist tally. You know, we were watching the Arsenal Palace game, which was absolutely terrible, and they put up a stat about Pepe, and Pepe is dog. He's not dog. That's the worst thing about it. He's just not 72 million. Yeah. If Arsenal signed him for 20 mil and he weren't doing much, it's like, meh, well, it's alright. It's only 20 mil, but it's like nearly four times that amount. So it's just like, eh. But he's played 64 games. Well, he came on today, 65, say, today at the time of recording. He came on today, 65 games, 13 goals, 13 assists. It's not really bad.
It's like one in three. It's like a goal contribution,
yeah,
one in three.
It's a goal contribution, one in three. But some stats are so misleading, and those stats are quite misleading because a lot of those goals and assists have come in, you know, the FA Cup.
Done
been paid like. Like a second string, if you want to call it that, and they have come against Dundalk, Rapid Vienna.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, he has scored against Man United. Just saying that. I just want to throw that one out there.
But this was.
But it's so misleading. And like, you'll see stats getting bandied about of like chances created. That's one thing I saw earlier on today. I was thinking chances created. I can't remember who's at the top. Might have been
Grealish.
55.
Three above 58, I think. Bruno was on 55.
Yeah, 58 chances created. And?
Yeah, I know.
Like, so you've passed the ball into the box and, you know, it's gone out for a corner or something. So, oh, he creates all these chances. Yeah, yeah. So, but is it a creation?
It wasn't as bad as Liverpool's last game on Sky, and Thiago was back. That's what they were talking about, and he got booked after 2 minutes. Oh, it was the when they lost to Southampton.
Oh, yeah.
And Thiago was back, and they were looking at Thiago's first few games to Liverpool, and Carragher literally said, oh, look, he's got the assist to the assist. Like, that's called a pass, mate. That's literally called a pass. But like you said,
one thing that does wind me up though, and it's, I do find it unfair, like, and I've used this example quite a few times. So right, me and you, and let's say Ed.
I know what you're going to say.
Right, Ed. You know, you already know,
yeah.
But I don't think the listeners know.
No.
So
I know
what it is,
saying.
I've got the ball.
Yep.
Right. I'm doing all this jinky stuff.
Yep.
I might do a couple of kick-ups, you know. You know, lob it in the air, just bounce it off my arse. It's big enough, you know, and I square it.
And then off.
And then I'll get it back. I'll get the ball back. And then I pass the ball to you, Cotton.
And I leave it and dummy it.
You dummy it.
Yeah, there we go, yeah.
And Ed lobs it in the top bin.
Yeah, who gets the assist?
I get the assist. Why? You're just taking three defenders out of the frigging game, man.
Yeah, that's just movement and stuff.
But it's just like, but that's how stats can be so misleading in comparison to what you're trying to depict.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to signing players and you are looking at, oh, how many times has he had the ball? How many times has he done this? But how many times has he done that? You know what I mean? It just doesn't make any sense.
Saying the same thing earlier with, when I was saying to you about Sergio Romero and his, they were talking about his clean sheets and stuff, and it was kind of like the same with Martinez at Arsenal. But it's all one and good saying, oh, well, look, because I remember all the time, there was at one point, who was it? It might have been Glenn Hoddle. One of the pundits were absolutely raging. They're like, no, Souness. He was raging. He's like,
Paul Pogba.
Romero's kept 14 clean sheets in his last games for United, and he can't get a spot above De Gea. It's a disgrace. And he's literally, Romero's clean sheets were against Barnsley, AZ Alkmaar in the cup, in the Europa League or something like. Games that he's starting, games that he is playing, he's playing those games because we're expecting nothing. Like, he wasn't put into those games. Don't get me wrong, Romero might be a bad example because when De Gea refused to sign that contract like 2 years ago, Romero started the season and he was baller, well. But to this season, to the same with Martinez, when the Arsenal fans were like, everyone kept saying, oh, it's an absolute outrage they've let him go. I can't, but look
if,
what they're
if we had sold him at the 18-19 season for half a mil, people would be like, oh, that's a good half a mil.
It's not even that, but it's
true though, isn't it? Because we'll be like, oh, you know, because oh, you can't really make a judgment on reserve football / under 23 football, whatever, which is games that he'd be starting quite regularly, and when he's out on loan, whatever. You know, he came into Arsenal, we did a bloody good job, but for me, did enough in that time to warrant a deal and a run in the team. He did that.
Yeah, he did.
And if he didn't then perform up until now, Christmas time, like the midway through the season and stuff, then you get your move. Or, you know, I think that he didn't play enough games, so to speak, towards the end of his career at Arsenal, but he won us the FA Cup.
But
he won us the Charity Shield.
This is my question.
I mean? And it's still called the Charity Shield, by the way. I will not call it the other thing. It's the Charity Shield.
But
games where we lost, he was still performing.
This is the question, though. Like, everyone keeps saying, can't believe they let him go, blah, blah, blah. Like,
oh, I can't believe
he was there for 10 years.
Yeah.
Played like 14 games.
Yeah.
Well, what do you expect him to do? Once you knew that Cech was obviously he was 1,007 when you signed him. Why go for Leno then? If you knew you had this great goalkeeper at the club that was ready to step up once the number one had moved to the side. Well, the thing is, it's one of those you don't know what you've got till it's gone. He's gone to Villa. He's gone to Villa and had an absolute.
Sorry, which version? The normal big yellow taxi version or the Janet Jackson version? I love the Janet Jackson version because that's got Q-tip on it. That's got Q-tip and Q-tip
signature. But yeah, it's very easy to say, like, for hindsight, say I shouldn't let him go. But I mean, I like Leno, to be fair. But literally, really going back in the circle to the Memphis thing, isn't it crazy? And I find this with certain players that it's always Real Madrid and Barcelona seems to be like it's the pinnacle of world football.
Yeah.
So how come Memphis isn't good enough to play for Manchester? In air quotes, good enough to play for United or anyone to sign him? He's good enough to go to Barcelona and win the album. Like, Liverpool don't really want to tie him down to a new deal, but he's going to go to Barcelona.
Going for a bit of a rejig.
They're just trying to sign him with Dutch.
And also, Martin Braithwaite plays for them and he wears number
9. Yeah, true.
So.
But I've always thought that, and yeah, it always has been
Maxine
the case.
Maxime Choupo-Moting, you know, he's played at PSG
and now
gone to Bayern, you know. The big clubs, they every now and then do pick up someone absolutely dog.
They do a bit of charity work.
Yeah, exactly. You know, helping out in the community.
Yeah.
And then every now and then they sign someone who is on the periphery of greatness. Someone like Jovic, who's gone back to
Frankfurt as of today, now. Yeah.
But it's almost like we want to try and snap them before they get really damn good and we don't have to spend too much money
on that player. I mean, Jovic going back is going to be... He'll score plenty of goals in the Bundesliga. The move was too big too soon.
What do you reckon Jovic will do next time he bangs, though? Because the thing is, like, people are moaning that because of COVID and all that sort of stuff, that the players shouldn't celebrate together by hugging.
Oh, it's nuts. It's so boring. Like, these guys, I know it's such a privilege for them to still be able to play and do their jobs, but it's also a privilege for literally millions of people across the world where, on it, like, look Beans. At me, for example, right? I live at home with my cat. I don't really see anyone. Well, I can't see anyone during the week. I don't see anyone. My whole week is like what football's on. That's all I've got to look forward to is 90 minutes of football.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy these guys are out there doing what they're doing. It's not that like crazy. And to say they can't hug or whatever, how are you going to mark a corner then? How are you going to...
Arsenal have been showing that for years.
Well, they just called it zonal marking.
Yeah, exactly. It's zonal celebration.
But it's not that end of the world.
No,
is it?
I know like, what you mean.
How are you expecting players to go in for tackles? And
I just find it funny that like people are kicking off about the fact that that footballers, if they score a goal, they'll hug each other and they'll be in close proximity. That's what about the spread of COVID? So why has no one got an issue with rugby being played?
Yeah,
they're scrumming there, they're doing line outs there.
Also, footballers, how many times a week do they get tested? I know there's some bad eggs in the basket that will.
Breach
the rules and go out and hang out with people and stuff, whatever. But for the most of them, they are all getting tested 3, 4, 5 times a week. It's privately done. They pay for it. They're not using like NHS resources. Mm. So it's not, it honestly isn't, people just are looking for something to get mad at the minute. And unfortunately, that seems to be the one. Again, honestly, watch any corner. Watch any corner, they're literally hanging off each other's shirts.
It goes even like easier than that. It's a dangerous free kick on the edge of the box. Dangerous attack. You got the free kick on the edge of the box, the defence then form a wall. So you're telling me that you can't form a wall anymore?
Yeah, well, exactly.
Or is it because they're all facing one direction that the virus won't spread side to side, you know?
Well, the thing is, like, what would Adrian Durham have to get angry about in the mornings at the minute if that wasn't the case?
Mornings? Is that what time did you get up at half three in the afternoon?
Hey, it's lockdown. It's lockdown and furlough. Isn't it? Mornings and evenings are a time constraint that don't exist.
It's not a thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, bloody hell. Well, we're gonna wrap up. Oh, before wrap up, just something else that winds me up before I go. Is the situation with Sky Sports and the fact that they change their music every damn season? Right, it's just something I'm literally was about to say. Like, share, subscribe to all of our stuff and whatever. But it just sat on my head just then because I watched the game earlier on today, and you know it's got that song which I always thought was Adele. It's Celeste, yeah. Isn't it? I always thought it was Adele. But that song's dead, bruv. I'm not a fan of that song whatsoever. And I'm not just saying it because I have connection with this person, but my pal Adam Gamage, right, is the drummer for Tom Grennan. And Tom Grennan had his song, the Found What You Been Looking For.
Yeah.
And I was a bit wound up when that song came in. But it's a good track.
Yeah.
Because I don't mind change. But sometimes when things are not broken, you don't need to fix it.
Yeah.
Because you had that track. Who is it?
Eric Turner and Tony Tempo. Written in the stars.
Mate. That's absolute bang. But I want to hear songs that make me feel like I'm about to watch football.
We need to go back to Alive and Kicking.
Oh my God.
We need to go right back to the Premier League. And, oh my God, this is it.
Here we go.
That's the one, yeah.
Here we go. This is it.
Yeah, that's the one.
It's like, welcome to Sky Sports. You know, it's like Richard Keys and stuff. I'm not necessarily saying go back to Richard Keys. I love Richard Keys, but, you know, like, there's a reason why he's not on telly and that sort of stuff. But, no, I just loved, even football's not played in the summer in the Premier League. We know this, unless it was like last year, which is a complete, you know, anomaly.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, like when it gets to, You know, when it's like the first couple of games of the season, it's August, it's still hot.
Yeah.
And it's a Sunday, and you've got Super Sunday. You've got, you know, I don't know, like Arsenal, Man City, Tottenham, Man United, you know, on the same day. You're like, oh my God. And then you hear, you know, written in stars, yeah, million miles away. It just makes you feel warm and hot. And it's like, yes. Football is on, I'm gassed, and it finishes 0-0, but you're thinking, what a terrible game of football. And then as the credits are going in for the break before the analysis, that song then comes on, you still think, oh, I'm invigorated again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want to hear that. That Celeste track. Oh, my God.
What was last year's one? I can't even think of what last year's
song. Oh, were you looking before, wasn't it?
Was that last year?
Was that last year? I'm sure it was. Yeah, and then Written in Stars.
Written in the Stars age ago. That was like 2012 or something.
It wasn't that long ago, was it?
I'm getting old, I can't remember, we'll have to find out.
But no, that was just a little gripe that I had, and I just wanted to get it out of there before. But just a little side note, you can like and share and subscribe to all of our stuff. It's at Two Up Top Football on all social media, all the social media that we have,
all the medias, you know,
Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Periscope, Instagram, all of that sort of stuff, at Two Up Top Football on all social media. And a little side note off the back of that as well, that if you put Two Up Top into Google, our name comes up first, which is pretty damn cool, isn't it?
It is. I'll never get tired of that.
Nah, never. But let's run the credits.
Let's go.
Down, 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 down.